But like that's it. That's like the logic, and that's really like the cornerstone of why I do this. Is I think I truly believe that like something as simple as learning double unders can change the world.
Hello, friends. I am Paul Wenzel, and welcome back to Uncharted Performance. First and foremost, thank you guys for being patient with us during our quick break and hiatus, and hopefully you guys had a chance to catch up on some older episodes that you might have missed. This episode marks the start of our sixth season, and we're very, very stoked for what's coming next. I will tell you why in a second. But if you are new to the podcast, we are the Lollapalooza of Fitness and Strength Training, where we learn from the best and brightest in the fields of functional fitness, strength, movement, self-development, nutrition, and wellness. Basically, awesome advice, guidance, nuggets, tips, hidden secrets that we can apply inside and outside of the gym to elevate our performance. The reason we're so giddy, that I'm so giddy about this season and moving forward, is that we are well on the way with our remote Skype interviews. To date, basically 99% of our podcast shows have been on location in person with our guests, which is awesome. But now we can bring you guests from all over the world, from Japan, like this week, Norway, Cali, you name it. The possibilities are endless. And if you ever have a guest in mind, let us know. We're definitely open for referral suggestions. Shoot us an email, direct message us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Would love to hear from you guys. Now, to this week's guest, Ben Jivolski is the creator of Watt Prep. He has become a really good friend and an awesome resource in a number of ways, including helping me become a better coach, teacher, athlete, and just a well-rounded individual from the advice that he's given me personally. He is driven, and that is a major understatement, as you will hear during our conversation, to make an impact. And that impact is to make the world a better place through fitness. And if there is one person that is up to that task, that is definitely Ben. He has incredible teaching instincts and the ability to break down the complex into simple and digestible, as well as actionable. Even though the conversation centers around CrossFit, hopefully you will see that his approach can certainly be applied in various domains. We deep dive into the process of finding that one thing, that one domino. Also, how fitness can shape the world and living an unbalanced life. You'll just have to listen to the episode to understand what that means. And that is just scratching the surface. I'm very grateful for having been introduced to Ben through a mutual friend and opportunity to share his passion and knowledge with you guys. His videos and courses have been viewed and downloaded over millions of times and have helped countless coaches and athletes improve their performance. Make sure and don't forget to rate and review the show on iTunes. Through the end of this month, August, we will randomly select a review to win a pair of brand new training shoes. It means a ton to us, so please, if you can spare a second, please do that. Let us know how we can improve, and also helps to give our guests gain more exposure. Last but not least, make sure to tag us on Instagram or Twitter whenever and wherever to let us know where you are catching the show. And with that said, let's kick off season 6. Enjoy, guys. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest, our second guest on Skype, a man from basically across the globe. I'm going to let him pronounce his last name, but it is Ben from Watt Prep. And the first question for you, sir, is how do you pronounce your last name?
That's a great question. So first of all, I'm super pumped to be here. It's actually morning time here in Japan, and I know it's nighttime where you are, so it's kind of cool technology can bring people together. But my last name, I pronounce it Jawalski. But I know any proper Polish person who's listening would probably say that's totally incorrect. So it was actually funny. One time I was at, I think it was a Walmart or a grocery store of some sort, and I was checking out, and someone saw my ID and said, "Oh, Jawalski." And I was like, "What?" And they're like, "Yeah, that's your last name." And I'm like, "Really? Is that how you pronounce it?" She's like, "Yeah, I'm Polish, and that's how we would say it in Poland, is Jawalski." So you learn something new every day when you go to Walmart.
Yeah, that's actually a better pronunciation than I would give it, because I'm actually Polish myself. So she beat
nice.
Me. Yeah, she beat me. I was going to say Jewolski, which is kind of, I guess, in between yours and hers. So
yeah.
Right on, man. All right, another quick hard one for you is, do you ever grow out your hair, man?
Not really. I have gone with this buzz cut for a really, really long time. In high school, I did the thing where you had like longer hair up top, short on the sides, and I would like flip it up in the front, and it was just ridiculous. Like, I was using like hairspray and gel and stuff like that in like the mornings before school, and I thought that was a cool thing to do back when school, maybe early high school. And then I was just like, I kind of like came to my senses. I'm like, what am I doing? And I just started shaving it. So I'm a buzz cutter for life. And it also doesn't help that, or it does help that gray hair is starting to sneak its way into the equation. So I'm kind of like, hey, if I keep it short, at least I can't see my gray hair.
That's a very good point. I actually got my haircut today, and I keep it short as well. One of the main reasons is because of the gray hair. You can see them a lot more with the longer do. So I'm right there with you, man.
Absolutely.
All right. So if for those that are not familiar with Ben, you are a genius when it comes to teaching and instructing. I don't necessarily consider you a coach. I think you're more of as a mentor, and you can correct me if I'm mistaken. But you know, speaking to you previously and watching your material, you do a very good job of communicating information, whatever that might be. And this is obviously specifically related to CrossFit and that audience. So with that said, before we get into, I guess, the more technical stuff and why prep, what is your background? And that can be, you know, before CrossFit, through CrossFit, and kind of some of your self-development.
Well, so before CrossFit, I was in college, and honestly, like, I've always played sports growing up. I've always been a very competitive individual. I did a lot of fishing. Actually, believe it or not, I know that's not a sport. People don't consider fishing a sport. It is a sport. Some might, and they're the smart people, in my opinion. I think it's a sport. So I used to do competitive bass fishing, and I would, you know, play football and basketball, and did that at a pretty high level. And just, I've always been a competitor. And when I got to college, obviously, the competitive sports kind of fell away, but I did some intramural stuff, and then randomly one day someone introduced me to CrossFit, and you know, we can maybe get into that down the road, how I got into it and what made me fall in love with it. But before CrossFit, I was just kind of like a fit athletic guy that liked to go to the gym and do, you know, the traditional kind of bodybuilding routine to make sure that I looked halfway decent. And I've always been a competitor. And one thing, I guess, from a coaching perspective, one thing that my mom has always told me since I was really young, and it was mainly for basketball. She's like, Ben, you should be a basketball coach. Like, when you, like, I was always kind of like the coach on the court. And in football, I was a strong safety, so I was calling out like different blitzes and stuff like that, kind of acting like as a deeper middle linebacker. And she was always like, hey, you like to coach and help, like, influence groups of people. So you should be a coach. And, you know, I didn't notice that I had become a coach until like a couple years after I started doing CrossFit coaching. And I was like, oh my gosh, wait a minute. I fulfilled my mom's destiny for me. I'm not a basketball coach, but I'm a coach, and that's pretty cool. So she saw it, at a pretty young age.
Got it. And this might sound be a weird question, but is there any relationship between fishing and CrossFit? Reflecting on it.
Man, I've never been asked that question.
Because you are a fishing guide, right? And then you're also a CrossFit coach. I'm trying to see if there's any sort of carryover in what you did in either of those two things.
Okay, so the carryover from – so I used fishing professionally kind of in two different domains. I was competitive, meaning I would compete against others. And then I would also guide, which means I would take other people and kind of teach them how to do it. So from a competitive aspect, there is a carryover in any competition. Like, if you're going to be competitive, it needs to be your obsession. Like, you need to kind of live an unbalanced life. I know everybody wants to live a balanced life, but if you want to be a true competitor, you kind of have to let that thing consume you if you want to really excel. And with fishing, it was exactly the same. When I was preparing for an upcoming bass fishing tournament in college, it was like, that was it. Like, hey, Ben, what are you doing the weekends? Or what are you doing tonight? It's like, obviously, I'm studying maps to prepare for my tournament that's 2 weeks away. Like, duh, what are you doing? And that would be very weird for people. So it would naturally consume me because I was so passionate about it. Now, from a guiding perspective, when I guide people, I was a very interactive guide. So I wouldn't just go out there and like hook a fish and say, hey, reel this in. You know, I was always trying to teach people how to, you know, make the right cast or teach them why we were going to catch fish in certain spots and not others. So now that I think about it, there was definitely a character, like I did use my maybe like teaching instincts in fishing, the guiding aspect, and that maybe helped prepare me to be a coach. You know, one of my main things with coaching is simplicity. I am a huge, and we'll get into this, I'm sure, but I kind of have to mention it now. Like, the reason I love coaching is I love taking a complex thing and breaking it down into very simple terms. Because I think the greatest coaches in the world, the greatest teachers in the world, can take complex things and explain them to a five-year-old. And that's kind of like, that's maybe it's because my mind acts like a five-year-old, but that's kind of like my entire philosophy surrounding this whole coaching thing is, regardless of what you do, whether you're a computer engineer or a physics teacher or a CrossFit coach or a fishing guide or whatever, if you can explain to someone else what you do or why you do something, and you can explain it at a level that's, you know, like middle school or lower, then in my opinion, that shows that you have maybe mastery isn't the right term, but you just have a very strong understanding of what's going on. I can come at you with all kinds of big phrases and terminology. And actually, I probably can't, because I'm not the one that's going to be like, oh, well, that's your quadrilateral preceptor muscle. And, you know, this one needs to be activated. You know, I don't know any of that. That's not my background, but I do know how to make it click into someone's head. So someone's a desk jockey. They work at a desk all day. If I'm explaining them which muscle they need to activate, they're like, I don't know what that means. But if I say, hey, think about pulling it this way and like twisting this way, and they're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. That's kind of it. So I know that was a super long-winded question, but maybe there's a carryover between fishing and the coaching.
No, I think there definitely is. And actually, since you brought it up, we can come back to some of the other questions that I had, but let's just keep rolling with it. And because I think that's actually what I really want to get into, and be it fishing, being a fishing guide or a CrossFit coach, specifically for the purpose of this podcast, is obviously being a CrossFit coach. And when you're doing with WOD prep, what I'm really intrigued about is the process of deconstructing the movements and the exercise. Again, like you mentioned, taking something that could be very complex and making it very simple to not only understand when you're verbally communicating into it, but then for the individual to be able to grasp it and then physically apply it. So if you can just, I guess, teach me and the audience your process of deconstructing, you know, the movements that, especially what you've done with WOD prep, you know, and we can use an example, let's say the pull-up, the chest to bar pull-up or double unders, whichever one, or something else that you might want to use on an example, and just take us through your process as a coach, as a teacher, of how you deconstruct that movement from complex to simple, and then how you communicate that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll use double unders as an example. So when it comes to a movement like double unders, there are like legitimately several moving parts. You have to jump, you have to spin, you have like an object that's not attached to your body that needs to be functioning properly. There's a lot of different factors that come into play. And oftentimes when athletes are trying to develop that movement, it turns into this just like, I'll just keep trying. And maybe a coach that hasn't necessarily coached it before will just like give them like one tip. And that tip is like totally off the wall. Like, hey, it looks like you're not like holding your hand properly. That's the key, is your hand isn't being held properly, when in fact they're jumping like a maniac and their timing is completely off. So basically what I try to do in all of my coaching is, instead of approaching the movement as a whole, like, here's how to do double unders. Step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. You know, like, there's a lot of steps that go involve in a lot of different factors. In my coaching, I try to improve upon single, like, domino items. So like, hey, if we fix this one thing, then other dominoes will fall into place. So for under coaching videos, is one of my most popular ones is what I call the penguin drill. And that's where you, and I have a YouTube video about this and it's on Facebook. And if you've ever heard someone mention the penguin drill, I actually kind of came up with that term like 2 years ago at this point. I was just like, man, that kind of looks like a penguin. And I just called it the penguin clap, the penguin drill, and it kind of has caught on. And all it is you're removing the jump rope and jumping and clapping as if you are trying to do a double under. So what that does is I identify that, all right, that is going to make sure that we are jumping, but we've removed the ability to fail. So it's going to help us develop the jump mechanics and the coordination between our jump and our hands. So it's a great drill. This is like a multifaceted drill, I would say. But what's cool is like, we're just knocking down a couple of dominoes. It's really not a very complicated like drill per se. It's not a very complicated movement. But if we can get that to click, oftentimes as soon as someone can make their penguin claps not feel like the most awkward, ridiculous thing in the world, that is when they can pick up a jump rope and say, oh my gosh, I can do it. And I'll use another example. This kind of just popped in my head. Handstand walks. Handstand walks are a really complicated movement. I'd say most people can't do them or do them very well. It's more of a stumble, a handstand stumble more than a walk. So in my own development, handstand walks were like a thing I could not do. I had been doing CrossFit for well over a year. I had already, I think, won or done really well in a couple of competitions. And handstand walks were still something I couldn't do. So I just scoured the internet, came up with a bunch of random things, kind of like self-taught. And then one day I came upon the drill to do shoulder taps, or at the time I think someone called it a wall run. Who cares what you call it? But basically I do a wall walk where my nose is almost touching the wall. So I'm facing the wall doing a handstand hold, not facing the opposite direction like a handstand push-up. Facing the wall. And then while I'm there, I just shift my weight from left to right hand. So I'm shifting my weight from my left to my right. And then the opposite hand, I just reach up and touch my shoulder. So it's like a shoulder tap is another term people use. So I did that like a couple times, and immediately once I did that, I could handstand walk. Like immediately I did like a set of 20 and I was like, oh, that kind of feels cool. And then tried handstand walking and walked like 15 steps. And I was like, aha, like that's kind of the definition of like that domino. Like you find the one drill or the one tip or the one cue that makes things click athlete. And then it's going to have everything else fall into place. So if I was coming to coach you how to do handstand walks, I'm not going to say, hey, you need to focus on finding your balance. Oh, and you need to make sure you keep your feet together. Oh, and you have to make sure you hold your hands in this particular way. Oh, and you have to make sure that, blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to come at you with 10 different coaching points. I'll come at you with one that if you fix it, it's going to have everything else fall into place. And that is my coaching philosophy with pretty much everything. If I can find that like domino item for you, it's going to make everything click. And that's why almost every one of the videos that I release is, some might say, overly simple. And I get some hate from some people where they're like, okay, seriously, like this is all you're going to tell us in this video? Like, come on. But oftentimes, just identifying one small tweak makes all the difference. So a video I actually just released a few hours ago was about banded bar muscle ups. It's a short video and it's like, hey, if you want to get better at bar muscle ups and stop chicken winging, practice with a band. And if it's really easy, practice with a really light band. And that's going to help make your bar muscle up better. And it's just like, it's not a complicated thing. There's no advanced strategy behind it. It's just a little tip. And for some people, they might be like, oh yeah, I already knew that. For, you know, the 40,000 people who have already watched the video today, those people are like, oh yeah, like that makes a lot of sense. Instead of just developing bad habits, I should probably maybe add in a little bit of assistance and practice with great form. Ah, yeah, thanks, WadPro. That's a good reminder. So that's it. That's my entire philosophy, is breaking it down.
And this might be, I guess, a difficult question, because there's a variety of different movements and exercises in CrossFit. But how do you go about finding that one domino? Is it based on your experience? Is it based on experience coaching people? How do you find that one thing that's going to click for a majority of other people?
I'd say both. So in my own learning, I've obviously, like, I haven't mastered all the movements. I think mastery is a process and not a destination. But in trying to learn things like handstand walks and bar muscle ups and ring muscle ups and some of the more advanced movements like double unders, oh my gosh, I could snatch almost 200 pounds and I still hardly could do double unders more than like two or three in a row, right? I worked my butt off and found a couple things that helped me. And then once I started coaching, I was like, oh yeah, I remember that doing double unders on my deck outside of my house really helped me, because I could literally listen to the jump rope as it clicked against the ground. And when I could hear the rope and cut out all other distractions and actually listen to the rope clicking the ground as I spin, it helped me with my timing, you know, and then I was able to make a video. So those things I picked up from my own training and my own development, but I'd say the majority of my tips and tricks have come from trying to use what I know to teach other people and then them either responding or not responding. And then, so what I'll say is like, hey, here's this one double under tip. I want you to focus on keeping your thumbs pointed out instead of letting them roll forward. That's going to make sure that the rope has good tension on it. And some people are like, what are you talking about? It's like, okay, that's not a good one for them. Okay, let's come up with a different one. All right, now I want you to focus on trying to hit your head on the ceiling so that you don't lean forward, right? Two totally different coaching cues. One of them might resonate, one of them might not. So it's kind of been a trial and error process coaching people. And it's helped that, you know, when I was a sophomore in college, I became a CrossFit coach at the local gym down the street from North Carolina State University. It was called CrossFit Raleigh at the time. And then it eventually they split up and one split up and made CrossFit Invoke. That was Chris Abbott's gym. She invited me to start coaching there, and I learned a lot from her, and I learned a lot by trial and error. Like, when you're coaching a class of 30 people, you kind of have to come up with a bunch of different pointers to get people to have these movements click. And I kind of just kept compiling them. And then when I opened my own CrossFit gym after I graduated, that was the big one, where it's like, all right, if these people don't get these movements to click, they're not going to get very excited about this whole CrossFit thing. So it was the kind of the pressure was on to make sure you can coach effectively, because that's going to make people really excited. So that's how I've kind of like developed my portfolio of tips. And I'm always trying to add more, learn from other people, improve more, come up with new novel random ideas that, you know, approach the movement in a different way. I think it's really important to always be trying to add more of those things to my arsenal.
No, and there's actually a couple awesome points that you've made, and one of them, which is pretty striking and I never actually thought of, but not just thinking about how your body moves and what you're doing physically, but that sound feedback that you got from the rope, is I don't think a lot of people pay attention to, and I'm at fault at this as pretty much as any other person, but being aware of your surroundings when you're performing the movement that can also give you feedback, right? And that could be as simple as your deck. But I don't know how many people actually think of not even just a proprioceptive response of your body in that space, but if you're using an implement or a tool, let that give you feedback as well. So that was actually a really, really interesting point that you made. And then the trial and error, because obviously not a single cue is going to work for a million people, right? So being able to develop different cues for a different audience. So which brings me to the question, why WOD prep? What led you to that?
You mean like the name or
Just the avenue, the medium.
WOD prep, WOD prep was like a forced hand, I would say. So basically what happened was I owned a CrossFit gym, got engaged. When I got engaged, and we eventually got married, I happened to get engaged and married to someone who is a helicopter pilot in the US Navy, which means we live life on her schedule and her moving and all that stuff. So as soon as we got engaged, I realized that, oh, there's no way I'm going to stay in Maryland for a very long time. So I kind of we negotiated a sale, and when I left and eventually moved to Florida, that was my first stop was Florida and then San Diego and then Japan. When I moved to Florida, I was kind of like, what the heck am I going to do with my life? I've never held a real job. I've always created one for myself, whether it was being a fishing guide or like owning a CrossFit gym. The only quote unquote real job I had was maybe working for a CrossFit gym, but come on, that's not a real job. It was too much fun. So basically what happened was I was in Florida and I had no clue what I wanted to do, but I did know that I didn't want to just get a quote unquote normal job, especially since my wife and I were going to be moving to San Diego and then Japan. So I kind of just ran a few experiments, and it was when I was playing around with this, it was right before the CrossFit Open in 20, oh, what is that? What was that? 2015, I think is was the first time. So basically all I did was I just like randomly came up with this name. I'm like, all right, the CrossFit market is obviously a very strong tide. It's a rising tide. I need to do something that I need to come up with a random name that associates me with CrossFit in some way, shape, or form. And I took like my least favorite word in the world or my least favorite acronym, WOD. Like I hate saying that. Like literally it hurt me to come up with that name, but I knew that it would be very sticky with my audience. If I said WOD prep, it's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. That's catchy. It's short. I can't found a good logo. You had someone make me a cool logo. And I was like, yeah, whatever. We'll roll with it. You know, we'll see what happens. So I released a couple strategy videos for the upcoming CrossFit Open in 2015. They were terrible. I had no idea how to talk in camera. I shot them with my iPhone. It was like the kind of thing where I didn't know how to edit. So if I didn't nail the 12-minute video completely perfectly, unbroken the entire time, I would delete it and restart it. So I was like shooting videos at like 2 in the morning during the open announcements because I would like have my memory fill up. It was a disaster. But anyway, long story a little bit shorter, I released those videos just on Facebook and like people kind of liked them. I remember the one of my first videos got over 1,000 views because people shared it with people they know. And I was like, oh my gosh, 1,000 views? That's unbelievable. And kind of just did it, stuck with it throughout the open. And then when the open was over, nothing. Just like didn't do anything. We moved to San Diego, didn't know what I wanted to do. I was like, man, I should start a kayak fishing YouTube channel, or I should, you know, start something, blah, blah, blah. I was coming up with a bunch of random ideas. And then I was like, wait a minute. Like, I love coaching CrossFit and fitness and inspiring people. And if I'm going to make an impact on this world, I really feel that fitness is the way to do it. And so again, this is turning into a really long answer, but I'm just going to break down really quick the logic behind why WOD prep exists. Okay. And hopefully everybody can follow. This is like the flow chart that exists in my head. Okay. So, in my opinion, the world w it will become a better place the more people who are interested in fitness, right? People like you, people like MISPA from Airborne Mind, people like, all of these fitness influencers that you and I are friends with and we know, they are exist in this world to try to make people like better or improve fitness. But oftentimes with fitness comes personal improvement, right? Improved happiness, improved pursuit of happiness, improved relationship with others. So overall, just like in my opinion, CrossFit embodies that transformation, just as well as any other fitness movement, and in my opinion, a little bit better than almost every other fitness movement. And I've personally experienced it, right? I went from just being like a random on and off bodybuilder kind of person to like being obsessed with my health and fitness. So because of that, I said, okay, if I want to make a positive impact in the world and influence people, I want them to get obsessed with fitness. If they get obsessed or if they get like really into fitness, what's the best way for them to do that? Okay, CrossFit. If I can get people interested in CrossFit and do my part to help people get better at it, then more people in the world will live happier lives, and it's just gonna keep expanding. So how do I get people interested and like stick with CrossFit? Because like for me, it's like I would tell my friend about it and like, I don't know, maybe. But then as soon as they got that first skill, whether it was double unders or muscle ups or handstand push-ups or handstand walks, or they did their first overhead squat, like one of those technical skills that they came in and said, I can't do this. And then they come out saying, holy crap, I can do this now. I'm 24 years old and I'm still learning stuff, or I'm 37 years old and I just learned something new. That right there, that is what gets people to like stick with something. And for me, that's what gets people to stick with something like CrossFit. So again, still on my flow chart here. So if I can get the world, or if I can get thousands or hundreds or even just a few people to develop and learn those skills that make them stick with CrossFit, the world will become a better place. That is my logic. So that's why with WOD Prep, I am focused not on everything. I don't talk about nutrition very much, because that's not necessarily my thing, even though it's very important. I don't talk about mobility, although I'm hiring a couple people who are going to help me with that because I think that's important as well. But most of my focus has been on, all right, what can I do to help these skills and these things click in their head? Or what can I do to help people like fall in love with the CrossFit Open? Because if they fall in love, or if they learn these skills, then they will be a CrossFitter for life, which means they're going to be developed. They're going to be dedicated to personal development and fitness. And ultimately, that's going to influence everybody. So that's it. And I can remember, like, I've seen this personally in my own life. Like, my wife didn't want to do CrossFit at all. And then eventually she like got into it when she started picking up a couple of the skills. When she got into it, her mom got into it. Her younger brother got into it. Her sister-in-law and brother got into it. Now her sister-in-law and her brother are coaches, and they're like, they're taking certifications and they're impacting the world. Like, so it's just like this one little trickle-down effect. It makes a huge positive impact. That is WOD Prep. And I know that was the longest answer in the world, and I'm sorry for rambling, but like that's it. That's like the logic, and that's really like the cornerstone of why I do this. Is I truly believe that like something as simple as learning double unders can change the world, because once you make that link, once you make that click, that is what has that trickle down effect and makes a big impact. So there it is.
Thank you, man. I work in the corporate world as my, my 9 to 5, my regular job. And that might be the best flow chart I ever heard of that you just went through. So
Dude, I appreciate that. And I'm gonna get someone to draw it on a piece of paper one day so I can so it doesn't I don't forget about it in my head. Thanks, man.
yeah, get it up on a whiteboard and make that happen. But I'm gonna, I guess I'm gonna ask you, I guess, a little deeper question and play a little devil's advocate here. Why? I mean, why do you care about what the rest of the world does? Why do you want to make a positive impact on everybody, Chris? I mean, stick to CrossFit. And selfishly speaking, I understand it's going to make a positive impact on other people's lives, but what do you get out of it?
Well, that's a good question as well. So, to me, without impacting other people, life kind of it doesn't seem very meaningful, right? If I'm like inward focused and it's all about like me being happy, there's no fulfillment in that. And I feel like most people maybe know this in the back of their mind, but if you live life on the terms of trying to earn a certain amount of money or trying to accumulate a certain amount of stuff, right? You get, let's say, I really want this thing. I want a car. Like, once I get this cool car, everyone's going to think I'm the coolest person ever. It's going to be a mark of my success, whatever. You get that thing, and in 2 weeks, that's your new normal, and you're back to the same level of happiness, right? And there's no growth there. So for me, I will never be able to have everyone in the entire world improve their lives through health and fitness. Never. It's like statistically impossible. But the pursuit of that will mean I always keep growing and I'm always looking to help others. And the times where I find myself happiest are when I'm giving other people those aha moments. And I literally had an email that talked about this a couple of days ago. I had a guy, his name was Ian. He's going through my Muscle Up Madness course, which is a ring muscle up development program. And he emailed me, I just remembered this. He emailed me and said, "Ben, I'm on week three of Muscle Up Madness and I just learned my first muscle up. Here's a video." I can honestly say that this program has changed my life because this, and I am paraphrasing here, this program has changed my life because this is the best feeling I've ever had when it comes to sports. Or it was something along those lines. But basically, he was saying that, like, I played sports all my life and this is the pinnacle. I've never thought I could learn something. I'm a little bit older. I never thought I could learn something as advanced as this. And I just did. Thank you so much. This is incredible. I have tingles all over my body recounting this story to you right now, but like that is it. Like that to me brings me more joy than doing stuff for myself. Hopefully that makes sense.
No, it and again, selfishly speaking, because I'm a coach as well, but it makes you feel really fucking good. It's like
Yeah, that's it.
you're on a high when you get that kind of response from the people that you're working with. So it's awesome, man. It's awesome. Thank you for sharing that, and congrats to Ian, man.
Yeah, dude, it's been there's so many stories like Ian that it just I do have to be careful because I've started we've gotten so much success stories from the various courses. Like I have a double unders course, I have a ring muscle up course, I have a shoulder mobility course that my friend helped me develop. I literally like 8 hours ago launched my bar muscle up course, and we already have a couple people who have like, "Hey, I watched the first video and I did a bar muscle up today," right? I'm honestly starting to take it for granted. So this is hopefully this conversation is a good reminder to me that like never take that stuff for granted. Like cherish, like appreciation, and like cherishing these victories every single time. That's like the flavor of life. That's what I need to make sure to keep doing.
Yeah, and thank you for sharing this, man. This is because even I mean I think even coaches us as coaches, we something that we mentioned kind of when we started pre-recording, talking to other people about this pursuit, it gets you re-energized if you're having a bad day or a tough moment. So it's again, thank you for sharing that, man. Speaking of coaching and why prep, can you think of or just reflect back on any, I guess, 2 to 3 aha moments that you had, like the biggest 2 to 3 aha moments since you started coaching and started doing WOD prep, be it about how you communicate on how people receive your communication, or just the product itself?
Yeah, sure, definitely. So I have one main one, and I'll share this. People can only focus on one thing at a time. And in almost, and I kind of mentioned, I hinted at this earlier. In almost every single one of my videos, I focus on one thing. A lot of people, when they release content, so this is a lesson for anyone out there who's releasing content, and especially if it's in video format, a lot of people try to release maybe like, let's say, a coaching video where they try to make this like the ultimate guide to blank, and they touch every single base and they're like, yep, that was perfect. That is too much, usually, that is too much information for the user to digest. Who cares if you can put it out there? What matters is can the viewer, can the user digest it and put it into action, not just watch it and have their brain melt. So for me, the biggest key, one of the biggest takeaways, one of the biggest aha moments has been tone it down a notch and simplify. So again, almost every single one of my videos is not like, here's a million different tips on how to do this perfect. It's here is one thing that you can do to make this better. Now the next video will be, here is one thing that you can do to make this better. Right, so that's why I'm able to release so much content on Double Unders. I probably have 20, maybe 30 videos. Actually, it's probably more than that on Double Unders. And each one of them will focus on a certain angle to approach the movement or a certain coaching pointer. And I will expand on it and explain it so that if this particular pointer or this particular tip or coaching strategy resonates with the athlete, they can put it into action. And that's been the biggest aha moment for me is breaking it down to individual like teaching points and making a piece of content surrounding that individual coaching point. That has been the key. And I think the reason the audience resonates with it, and like we've seen so much growth and expansion in our social media channels and email lists and stuff like that, is because they're like, oh yeah, like I learned that and it helped me get better at this movement. Boom, done. They're not like, yeah, that was a great video, but like, and then they forget about it. If you give them one thing to focus on, they can put one thing into action and it leads to results.
What kind of advice can you give to a coach that, let's say, is challenged with an athlete that kind of wants it all at once, right? That's not necessarily patient enough or understands that this approach of one step, one skill at a time in the long term will benefit them much more versus, throwing everything together in the bathtub and then see what happens type of thing.
Yeah. I used to be that athlete, right? Trying to develop every single thing at every single time. I think as a coach, it's really important, and this is what I tell all of my athletes, it's really important to share with them that the best way to advance a particular skill is to live an unbalanced, I talked about living an unbalanced life earlier, to live an unbalanced life or have unbalanced programming to focus and enhance that one skill. So from a coaching perspective, and again, this is like coaches share this with your athletes if you believe in it, I believe in this, is for an, let's say an athlete has, there's 15 or 20 different capacities and skills that you need to be quote unquote good at to be a well-rounded, fitness athlete. Okay. If let's say there are five of those 15 things are really, really good. Five of them are, I'm all right. And then five of them are like, if they show up in the workout, I'm skipping, right? Those five that you are avoiding like the plague, and oftentimes these like immature athletes, those are like you try to get them to work on those things, and they're like, oh no, I'd rather, learn. I want to PR my squat. It's like, dude, your squat is awesome. Stop focusing on your squat, right? Like, you have to be a jack of all trades if you want to be a well-rounded athlete. And it's all about the athlete skills. But take those five really, really crappy parts of your game and identify the worst one. Work on that until you have it at the, man, I'm all right level, right? I'm not expecting you to go from like zero to freaking hero. Like, it's very, very often, it's very hard to find someone, an athlete who's able to take their least favorite movement in the world and turn it into their favorite movement in the world. But with something like double unders that and muscle ups, that does happen. And we've seen it happen in some of the programs. Like, I had a guy go from two or three double unders in a row, and then my course, 107 unbroken. And now he's like, every time can knock out, you know, at least 100 unbroken. And I was like, are you trolling me? Like, is this real? Right? So, like, that is a very extreme case. It's not necessarily something that, it's not a common thing. But the reason he was able to make that transformation is because he wasn't going into the gym and saying like, oh man, yeah, I want to work on like snatches, and I'm going to try to do some muscle ups today, and like, ooh, cool, like a sled, I'm going to push that around. Like, the shiny object syndrome is very strong with many people. But he bought my course, and it was like, hey, for the next 8 weeks, three times a week, you're doing 15 minutes of accessory work, 100% focused on double unders. And guess what? It was either 4 or 5 weeks in, boom, 107 unbroken, and now he's a beast at double unders, right? That is how you make huge progress. So, like, if you were looking at, like, the Open as a good baseline of his potential, right? He just went in the Open. He just jumped tens of thousands of places because he was able to fix that one part of his game. So that's the key. Look at your game. Look at those like 15-ish movements, 20 movements that encapsulate CrossFit, because we're using CrossFit here as an example, or just general fitness. Take the least favorite things and make them decent one at a time. And then what's cool is that if you go through that entire process, let's say you've elevated all five of those to now you have maybe 10 movements that are, eh, I'm all right. And five that you're like, yeah, I'm really good at. So then it's like, okay, let's take one of those, meh, I'm okay at it, and it's elevated to like, yeah, this is my jam, this is my strength. And that's it. That's how you make progress. You analyze the pieces, find the weaknesses, focus on it, attack it for, you know, 6-8 weeks at a time, and then slowly but surely you will see massive improvements as an athlete. So hopefully coaches can convey that to their athletes. That's something that I don't think many people have looked at analytically, but that is like the foundation of my courses and my programming, is live a little bit unbalanced for a short period of time, and then you will reap huge rewards.
Now, your audience, we've been talking about a lot of athletes, and I think earlier you mentioned that you got some criticism. I don't know if it was from a coach or from somebody else, but I'm a coach myself, and I guess an athlete too at the same time. And I find value from both perspectives, in terms of trying to get better. You know, let's say double unders. As an athlete, I'm going to watch your videos, but also as a coach, it helps me able to teach and pick out different things to be looking for. So, from your perspective, are you targeting just the athletes or both coaches and athletes?
I'd say both. So I create all of my content with the athlete in mind, but what happens is that almost every coach, I'd say like probably 95% of coaches are athletes or were athletes at one point. You know, they were focused on their fitness as well. And I hope every coach at least practices fitness if they're teaching it to others. We have to lead by example. So with that, it's very easy for a coach to watch one of my videos. Let's say the video is targeted at an athlete, but it's very easy for a coach to say, oh yeah, like that would work for me. I can teach that to one of my athletes. So I get emails all the time from dual athlete coaches where they're like, yeah, I use this tip to help improve my bar muscle ups. And I taught it to three of my athletes this morning and they all got bar muscle ups. You know, it's like that connection it's not a huge leap. So that's why I just focus on athletes, and then the coaches are able to easily morph it. And then at some point down the road, I certainly have plans to release something or maybe branch off a little bit and have, like, you know, talk kind of like you and I are talking, like the deeper fundamental stuff on, like, okay, how do you approach, like, let's say Jane comes in and Jane has a couple things she's really good at, a couple things she's okay at, and a couple things that she really hates. You know, how do we assess and improve the most important ones? You know, that's like, that's stuff I haven't really talked about except on this podcast. And that's eventually I might branch out and do some content specifically for coaches about that stuff.
Okay. So this might be an exclusive on Charter Performance. You heard it first.
You heard it first, man. And it's super simple. That's the problem. Hate to disappoint everybody, but it's not that complicated.
No, but I just want to emphasize that I don't want to coaches to think that WOD prep is just for, you know, athletes, that, you know, we as coaches should be always looking for new resources to, you know, better our game so we can be better for our athletes.
Yeah. And one thing about that is, like, you know, I get questions all the time, and I totally respect these people. It's awesome. But I get questions all the time. Like, hey, can I share this with my athletes? And I'm like, yes. I don't even care if you give me credit, right? Like, I'm not in this game to, like, hoard this, like, credit, because to be quite honest with you, I'm certain that a lot of my tips and pointers have come from me absorbing things from other coaches. So I'm like a little sponge out there, and every class I take and every box I drop into and every video I watch, and I soak it up and I twist it and make it my own. Right? Or I come up with my own things at the gym, and then other people use it. So, like, be a sponge, absorb things, and share. It doesn't necessarily matter if you give WOD Prep credit for learning the penguin clap. Just teach your athletes the penguin clap, and it's going to improve them. And you definitely don't have to ask for permission to share and teach, you know, my stuff. The only thing I would ask is don't rip off my videos and claim it was your own. That's, like, you know, intellectual property kind of stuff. But otherwise, it's like, guys, we're all in this game together. So take what I share and preach, share it with your athletes, and they'll look at you as an authority, and it's going to help them trust you more. And that, like, that's it, man.
Yeah. Plus if you do that, you steal somebody else's stuff. I mean, you're just being a dick. So
yeah, it's going to happen. It's the internet.
Yeah, for sure. But to kind of segue off of that, so what are some of the coaches or just resources, books that have influenced or even impressed you the most through your career?
Oh, man. All right. I'm actually going to – I have, like, a little thing behind me right now. I know no one can see me. I'm going to move it because behind it is my bookshelf. So I'm going to look at my bookshelf. I'm a huge proponent of books, probably to a fault. I buy books at a 3-to-1 ratio of bought to read. So I've been compiling a nice bookshelf here, but – favorite book, and this was kind of like the pivotal moment. This is like the first book I read that was like, oh my gosh, I need to read more books because this is life changing. That is The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson. Excellent book. Highly recommend it. The next one I would say, this has been a more recent read, is called Deep Work by Cal Newport. It's specifically about being more productive at work, but, you know, last time I checked, almost everyone has to work to live. We're not in a sharing economy quite yet. So Deep Work, unbelievable. And you can make a ton of carryover to being an athlete. It just talks about how living, like, we are the most distracted our species has ever been, and how important focus is. Like, focus is a muscle. And if you work on and develop the focus muscle, you become way more productive. So those are two big ones. I'm trying to think, let's see where, of course, my books are not all here on the shelf. So they're spread out across all kinds of stuff. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Okay. this is probably the biggest one, biggest carryover to CrossFit. And I've written a blog about this that I've sent out to various sources, and that's called Mastery by George Leonard. It's a little quick book that you can read, and he basically talks about Aikido, I don't even know how to pronounce it, Aikido, a form of Japanese martial arts and the pursuit of mastery. And it is epic, man, like direct carryover between that book and like whatever you're pursuing, whether it's fitness or coaching or getting better at your job or getting better at a sport. It's freaking great, great book. So those are the big three. I don't want to get, like I said, I like to focus on, you know, a limited amount of things. I don't want to overwhelm people. So those are the three books I would highly recommend.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And we'll make sure to link all that up, including some of the videos that we mentioned earlier, including the penguin clap.
Oh yeah.
But let's start winding down, and it's your morning. It's you're over in Japan. It's getting nighttime here in Cleveland.
I'm getting amped up now, man.
We're a cup of coffee, man. What's next for you, man? The immediate future, like let's the early fall, you know, winter of 2017. What do you got working?
So I have an issue where I jump way ahead of myself, and I have like this huge master vision for what I want to do with WOD Prep, and then like I'll forget about like the individual steps I need to take. So I'm really working on like making incremental progress every single day. And you'll learn about that when you read The Slight Edge. But fall, like what's next for WOD Prep is I am still in phase one. I still think I haven't even scratched the surface yet with WOD Prep. Right now I have a few coaching courses. I have a muscle up course called Muscle Up Madness. I have a double under course called Double Unders Unleashed. I have a shoulder mobility and stability and general shoulder health course called Shoulder ROM Unlocked. And I just released a new coaching course called Bar Muscle Up Mastery. And depending on when you're listening to this, I might have released another one. But so I have those four courses, and I will be releasing a strict pull-up course, a kipping and butterfly pull-up course, a handstand push-up course, and I'll probably throw some handstand walking in there as well. And probably some form of Olympic lifting, Olympic strength course, probably. So that is like between seven, eight, nine different courses. I want to have basically, I am building a business here. Like this is my full-time gig. Like I'm all in with WOD Prep, and you know, I will probably have a growing family at some point. So this is going to support us. Those seven or eight courses, developing those and making them freaking awesome, that is phase one of WOD Prep. So my goal by the end of this year, by the end of 2017, is to be, let's say, at least two or three courses closer to that, whatever that final number is. And what I want, and what's really cool, is that all of my coaching programs are literally like 100% guaranteed, meaning you take, if it doesn't get you the results that you were looking for, you ask for all your money back, and you get all of your money back. Like, it's quite simple. All I ask is that you put in an honest effort. Like, I don't want you buying the course and then like 3 months later when your credit card bill is late, like, let's refund this, and I didn't even do anything about it. So I can actually see the progress you make inside the course. So don't try that. But the key here, my goal, like phase one, is to develop these courses and make them amazing enough to be able to put a 100% guarantee results on the course. So like it's basically the strongest guarantee I could ever even imagine. I want to be able to put that stamp of approval on every single one of these courses. And then once that's done, I think, you know, I don't know what's going to be next. I'm really excited for it. I think I might actually go the route of like developing an entire foundations where, let's say, people in China or people in South America or, you know, wherever they are that don't speak English, I'm going to make a foundations course in English and then translate it into multiple languages so that people who aren't, you know, within striking distance of a CrossFit gym can learn and basically get obsessed with this thing that we love called the sport of fitness, and they can do it all online and they can do it in their language. So that's a whole, like that's phase two is going to be nuts, but I still got a lot, like I get excited talking about it, but I have to focus on phase one right now. So that's it. That's the game plan for WOD Prep, and I'm really excited to see where it takes us.
It sounds like you're putting together a WOD Prep University, man. A worldwide WOD Prep University.
Yeah, something like that. And maybe that's what I'll call the you know, the kind of like the foundations course. But like, I really want to just, I want to give people the Kool-Aid experience and do it in a way that's not exclusive. Like one thing, and this is kind of a jab at HQ. Like I've still am pissed off at the fact that they have not done a very good job translating any of their content. This is a global world. This is a global economy. China, all of South America, like Spanish and French speaking countries, they are starving for content and good coaching. And I don't speak any of those languages. Like, no words. And I am still like, it hurts me that I can't provide a lot of content for those people because they're starving for it and they need it. It's going to change the world. But HQ has, like, until recently stuck to their English guns the entire time. And that kind of frustrates me. So like taking this thing worldwide and global, I think, again, that's going to further the mission of like actually making an impact in the universe. So that's my game plan here.
That is awesome, man. And I got to say, your energy is definitely infectious. So if we want to...
caffeine helps.
Yeah, it does, definitely. So if we want
to... Not too much.
If we want to infect some more people and infect them in a good way, where can people find you, man? Let them know where you're at.
So I'm on all the major social things, which means not Twitter, because Twitter's dying. Just kidding. I just don't know how to use it. So I'm on Facebook. So facebook.com/WODPrep, instagram.com/WODPrep. What's the other one? YouTube. That's a big one. YouTube.com/WODPrep. So any of those /WODPrep, you'll find me. Also, if you go to WODPrep.com, shocker, that's where you can download a ton of free training material. So I don't just have these paid courses. I have a lot of, you know, I try to make all of my free stuff better than everyone else's paid stuff. So that's like my goal here, is to release free content that people say like, oh my gosh, he's giving these secrets away for free. And then when you get into the paid courses, eventually you're like, what? Like, this is nuts. So that's the goal. So if you want to get download some free courses, go to wodprep.com, and then you can choose whichever movement you're struggling with. Don't choose all of them. People come in and they download every single one, and I'm like, ah, you know, they have shiny object syndrome. Try to focus on maybe one or two. Download it, implement the free training tips that I give you, and then we'll roll with it from there.
Awesome. And like I mentioned before, just it's all in the show notes. So if you're on our website, just look right underneath the interview. And make it happen. Ben, thank you so much, man, for spending the time.
Thank you, brother. It has been an honor, man. Had so much fun talking to you. I think you have one of the coolest podcasts out there, because we go deeper than just the nuts and bolts.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. And thank you for the education. So, guys, definitely check out Ben and WOD Prep. I have plenty of times. It's helped me a ton. So take it easy, guys.
Peace.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap on another great episode of Uncharted Performance. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed the episode, please take a second and leave a rating and review on iTunes and Stitcher. Each month we will select a winner to win a special prize. This month we are giving away a pair of brand spanking shiny new training shoes. Your choice of Nike Metcons, Reebok Nanos, or Nobles. So make sure to rate and review. Let us know when and where you are listening by tagging us on Uncharted Performance on Instagram or at Reach Uncharted on Twitter. Take care for now and see you next time. And don't forget to use the code UNCHARTED for 10% off on strength.com on all their supplements. Rage on, UP Nation, and reach the uncharted.